on a journey through the strange and the unexplained on Python Radio with Annette Munich.
Temptation eat beats like a drum deep in your veins. I will not lie, little sister.
Everybody, it's Annette Munich, and welcome to Python Radio. We are looking forward to a really great show tonight. I have with me my trusty sidekick, Lisa Livingston Martin. And hi, Lisa. I was going to tell them about your books and your paranormal investigation team, which is Paranormal Science Lab. And Lisa has written Haunted Joplin and also Civil War Ghosts of Southwest Missouri, and has a new book coming out, Missouri's Wicked Route 66. I never tell anybody who the hell I am.
Well, did you notice that?
I have never once told anybody who I am. What I do actually is I started out with a website called the Paranormal Python, which is sadly neglected, and I'm actually a publicity person and an event person and a graphic artist, 12 years Photoshop, and I have a partner in Philly who's a talent agent, and that would be Emmy Gossard, and we promote people. So that's what I do. Anyway, I'm going to bring our guest on. We have a very, very interesting guest tonight. I've been looking forward to this. This is a very different and intriguing lady that will have a lot to say that will make you lay in bed tonight and stare at the ceiling for a while before you go to sleep, I think, because that's what she did to me. What about you, Lisa?
Oh, she's amazing, and one of the most astute intuitives I've come across.
Yes, she has the gift, and we're going to bring her on now. And this is Geraldine Palmer Bowes. Geraldine, hi.
Hi, how is everyone tonight?
We are good. How are you?
Very good. Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about in only 1 hour, so that's sad.
I know, we need 2 hours. You know, maybe next time we'll get 2 hours.
That's right. So I wanted to give everybody a little background on you, but also I want to talk about some of the things that you do. And I'm going to do that first, and then after I'll ask how, you know, all of this came to pass with you in your life. But just for people that aren't really familiar with some of these terms, we have empath, intuitive, mental medium, parapsychometric, spirit discernment, and also spiritual warfare. If you would,
is there a quiz at the end now?
Yes, everybody, get your number two pencils, and they better
please. You need to take notes too, everybody. Yes, right. So take some notes.
And you know,
Jerry. It's a lot, but it's all basically the same. I mean, it's a gift. We have a tendency as human beings to try to put everything in a box and a category so we can figure it out. But these are terms that I use so people who are familiar with the paranormal can say, oh, I can go talk to her because I need someone to help me communicate with someone past, or I need someone helping me with spiritual warfare or whatever the case, or I have an item in my house I think might be haunted. These are for people to understand the terms, but I don't like to put the gift in a box. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't like to term my gift, but if I had to, that's as close as I can get, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more, and it's so strange to have to live like this because I don't know how to term it sometimes myself. I really, really don't.
Well, when you're talking about, first of all, I'm going to go here too and say that you're a Bible scholar and you studied ancient texts and ancient languages.
Yes, and that's, you know, I think that if you're going to get into this field, in parapsychology, or any field to do with the paranormal at all, you really need to know the background of the Bible, and you really need to go as far back as possible, because if you don't understand how it was translated, what the words changed to, you're not going to understand the meaning behind it, you're not going to get the full meaning, and you're not going to have the full armor of God, which is very important in what we do. We always need to be protected as empaths, as psychics, as investigators, and to understand scripture is very, very important in my world. So I suggest that anyone who does this, they need to dig deep in, and I'm talking all the way back. Yes, so I harp about that to people when they ask me, you know, well, I studied the Bible. Fundamentalists are hard to deal with for me, you know. Well, I read the Bible, and the Bible says that what you do is divination. And no, it's not. Actually, it's really not. Divination is, you know, conjuring up spirits to help you see something in the future. And so is all the other terms that the Bible lists that they say you should not do. It does not mean that. I mean, we have it in an English language now, and we read it, and we interpret it in such a way that they point fingers at everyone. And, you know, man's ways are not God's ways, and God says that many times. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So everything down here seems to be put in a box, in a category, under a certain rule or law. You're under thumb all the time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, well, I don't want to go off the beaten path, but sometimes with the Bible, people can find in it what they want.
That's, you know what? That's why there are so many variations of religion. I agree with you 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm.
So how did all this start for you in your life?
Wow. Well, that's a complicated story. And let me just start by saying you grow up with a gift that doesn't seem like a gift after a while. It seems like a curse. So when you walk around feeling like you're cursed, you want to know, is there something I can do about this? Can I get rid of this? I'm not like everyone else, am I? And you start seeing things about possession and oppression, you know, movies, what have you, books. You start thinking, there's something wrong with me, and I want this gone. So that's how I began looking into it. And what I found was, this is not a curse at all. It's a blessing, actually, but that came years later, many, many years later. Yeah, it's a complicated. We need 3-4 hours for this.
Right.
When I was a child, I would see spirits. I would communicate with spirits, and I would always tell people, you know, every house we lived in, we moved out of when I was, and I lived with my aunt and my uncle and my mother. And every time we'd find an apartment, I would say to my aunt, "So and so is talking to me. They won't let me sleep at night." She would ask whoever the landlord was at the time, did someone here name, you know, whatever it may be, did they pass? Yes. We would move. We moved about 5 times before they finally started hauling me off to doctor's offices to see what was wrong with me. Yeah.
So what was, you know, then it just became aware to your family that this was you and the way that you were.
Back then, it was really hard for them to understand. They didn't know what it was. They had no idea what was going on, and it scared them. So, when I got older, like I said, I started looking for ways and reasons, and I started digging into this, and I tried to find an explanation, and I thought, you know, I must be possessed or something. It has to be it's got to be an evil thing. And my family were always saying, you know, maybe it's some sort of possession or, it's hard to explain to people because I don't know how to term what I went through. I know that growing up like this was the most difficult thing, and there was nobody at the time. There were no chip coffees. There were no, you know, people to say, oh, for psychic kids, you know, hey, you know, we see spirits too. There was no one like me in
right.
my family. And
hey, Jerry, how did you end up coping when, as you figured out that other people weren't having the same experiences?
I thought to ask friends. I would say, have you ever seen anything? Have you ever had an experience where you'd see a ghost, where you'd communicate with somebody who's, you know, everyone else isn't seeing? Why? And people would say to me, oh my God, you know, that's crazy. That's like, wow. And I started to be termed in school. When I went to school, they would call me a witch, which killed me because I was, you know, always had a Bible with me. I always had a draw to God. And it really hurt me, especially when I got older, when I was in my teens. It really hurt me. But then I had the friends who would utilize me for their benefit, you know, like Friday night's coming. I want to know what's going to happen for the week. So, you know, can you give me a quick reading? Tell me what's going to happen. Am I going to meet a boy? Is he going to be nice to me? Is he going to be cute? And, you know, I would be, well, you know, how about we do it for $20, you know, so I could have money to party with on Friday night. That's how it, yeah, I learned to enterprise on my gift when I was a teen. And that opened up doors that led me down a path of complete seclusion.
Right.
I actually have questions piling up in the chat room.
Oh, boy.
So maybe we should go to some of these because I'm having to scroll up to find them. We have one from Schnoogle Bump, which the chat room just assigns people silly names until they change it.
Oh, I know. I was Foofy something. Foofy Footer. Foofy
yeah, you were Foofy.
Yeah.
Foofy Bump or something. Anyway, it was cute, and they gave you a cat.
Yeah, didn't they?
Yes, they sure did.
Yes,
okay,
did.
Now I'm scrolling back up. We have blah, 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 asking a question for her husband about how his grandpa died. Do I have that correct? That's the first question.
That's what I read, too.
Uh-huh. Asking how... okay. Schnoogle Bump is Josie. Hi, Josie. Thanks for coming,
aww.
Josie. Ah. Okay. So her husband wants to know how his grandpa died.
Right. Well, you know what? If he would like to know how his grandfather died, he can send me a face picture of his grandfather. And I will look at the... No names have to be attached. You can do it privately. And I will look at the picture. I will view it. And the next morning, I will give him what I get from the reading. That's how I do. I have to have a face picture. I can't, you know, over the telephone on a radio show tell you how your grandfather died. If I were that good, I would be gone. Somebody would come and get me.
you'd be in a government experiment, huh?
Yeah, I would be. They would take me to Area 51 and no one would ever see me again. But I would love to help. I mean, I've done it for people that are in the chat room that said they were going to the show tonight. So I have given readings. I have a very long list of credible, very good clients that I still work with who I've read for and communicated with their past loved ones. So feel free to send me a picture. I'd love to help.
Okay, well, that sort of leads us into another question from Ed. Hi, Ed.
No.
Yes. Hi, Ed and Marcia. Ed said, basically, he's asking, is it a burden knowing, you know, what's going to happen? The chat room just moved. I have to go find the question again. But basically, he's asking, is this a burden knowing in advance? Okay, this is the exact question. Is Jerry ever burdened by knowing something will happen, but not knowing where or when?
Yes, I've had it happen to me, and it is a burden. The burden part is that when you're laying down at night, you're getting ready to go to sleep, and you're having vivid visuals of something horrid, and you see people running, water coming, or the earth shaking, or a plane smashing into a building, or children screaming, what the hell do you do with that? You wake up, you write it down, you tell your loved one next to you, oh God, I just saw this. They pay close attention to CNN and Fox News for the next three days to 3 weeks is usually my time. And sometimes it's a year in advance. They pay close attention, and when it comes to pass, what do? Who you call? And it hurts you. It hurts you because you there's nothing you can do. When you see the people's faces, you feel what they're feeling for a few. And the fleeting seconds that you do, it feels like hours. I can't even tell. It feels like you're stuck inside them for hours, and the fear and the panic and the anxiety is unbearable. So, yes, it really is a burden. And you can learn to control it. From what I understand, I've learned to control the empathic part, shake it off. But with that, it's a little harder because the guilt that you carry around is unbearable sometimes. Oh, I should have called. So who do you call? I mean, who? There's no phone number for that.
Right.
Hello, I'm Jerry, and I just had a vision, and I think people should evacuate India, you know? I mean,
right.
They'll be like, okay, have a nice day, click. It is a burden sometimes.
Right, right. It would be. And even if you know the whole thing, it's a burden because there's a lot of things that you just can't do anything about it.
We're not credible in this field because of all the flybys and the dollar. Oh, I'll charge you $1 a minute for a reading, you know, tarot card reading psychics out there. We're not credible. And I have friends that go through the same thing. And even when they try to help with a murder investigation, they're arrested for it. And they're called obstruction of justice because, you know things you shouldn't know. Were you there? Do you know the victim? Did you know the perpetrator? You know, it's almost impossible for us to be found credible now because of all of this. And the paranormal world is so big now. It's huge. And it makes it even harder for people who are gifted to help. But, yeah, I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No.
Rant.
not a problem. Jerry, I have a question from perspective as a Bible scholar. What is your thoughts on the approaches of different religious traditions in the world towards spiritual warfare, say, Western civilization versus the Eastern philosophies?
You know what? You'd be surprised when you dig, like I said, you get back into the Word as far back as possible, how closely they're related and how they come together. And it's amazing to me that we do really relate more to that in the beginning than we do now. I respect every religion. I really do. I have respect for anybody with a belief system. I don't put anyone's beliefs down. But I do believe from personal experience that the Word of God is the true Word. But you really need to find it. It's hard to find. But yes, the Eastern religion does correlate. In far back, when I study, it does seem to go a little bit more along the lines of truth than what we have these days.
Well, in as far as the Word of God, that it can certainly, as you go further back in time, there's a lot of theory that there's a base religion that separated. And so my thought is that the Word of God is in each of those religions. It may get lost at times, though.
He's God, okay? There's nothing he can't do. You can find bits and pieces of God everywhere. And, the problem with people is they're always looking for the bad. They have to always find something wrong with something instead of what's right with something. That's a problem with the world. They don't look for anything that's good anymore. They always look for the bad. They're judgmental. They're argumentative. We'd rather go to war than make peace. The world's in a very bad condition. So, yeah, and I don't mean to speak poorly of religion, but to me, religion is a social group of people who get together and they practice a certain belief system that they all agree on, and there's so many groups of them. But they'll be the first ones to, like, I have Jehovah Witnesses in my family. They cannot deal with me on any level because they are not allowed to study the books on their own. They are only allowed to do what the Watchtower tells them to do, and that's to study the way that they're told to study. Now, that's very difficult for me. So we don't see eye to eye. And when I visit my family, we don't speak on religion or there's a war in the house. And I try not to argue with people about what they believe. So it's hard for me. Very hard. Very hard. That's an understatement.
Can you talk a little bit about what you do when we discuss spiritual warfare as far as the spiritual side versus human entities?
Yes. Human entities? Well, this is perfect, actually, because here's the thing. In the end times, you're going to see a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare. This is a given. This is how I know. And I'm not saying, God forbid, I'm not saying that we're living in the end. You know, everybody preaches the end is here. The end. They've been doing it since God only knows when. Since Jesus, you know, was at the cross, they've been doing it. But in the end times, there's going to be a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare. But people have to remember what is done on earth reflects the kingdom of God within us. And people seem to forget that. The Bible says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. And we don't practice this. And that's a problem for us as a race of beings. We walk around in a flesh body with this beautiful spirit inside of us. And some people, they just lose the ability to communicate with themselves. And that means that they're losing the ability to communicate with God. And they're empty people. And that's a terrible thing. Everything good or evil is subject to God's laws. This means on earth or in heaven, in body and in spirit. And, you know, we have to understand the kingdom laws because that's the only way you can get into or perform spiritual warfare. So, I don't know if that answers the question. I start rambling and I get into what I'm feeling. So.
Oh, no.
It answers a question, but it just brings us into more questions, which is kind
I
of
know,
like...
I know. The word kingdom in the Bible means the right or authority to rule. I mean, just like here in the English language, you know, you say kingdom, it's someone's kingdom. Well, the word kingdom in the Bible means the right and authority to rule. So when we pray to God that his kingdom shall come, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in, you know, when we pray the Our Father prayer, we're praying for the very thing of God's kingdom to be in us. And we're supposed to act on that. And people have, when there's no spiritual knowledge of God in them, you look around the world and you'll see black everywhere and heaviness and war and pestilence and starvation, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. And that, to me, that's spiritual warfare to me. Let me make this clear. When I say spiritual warfare, people say, well, I don't need it. I don't have a demon. I'm not possessed. Well, let me make this clear. If you have a drug problem, a drinking problem, if you're abusive, if you're angry, if your life is on a downward spiral, you need spiritual warfare because that is oppression. That is the dark side taking you over. And there's only two ways to go.
It's the manifestation of it.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, every single day of our life, spiritual warfare takes place. Every day you are faced with a war. Every time you face temptation, or there's lust of the flesh, pride, overeating, too much alcohol, depression, anxiety, arguing, fighting, anger, greed, every day we're at war. We have to battle this on a daily basis. So do I think people need spiritual warfare? They need it. They need to learn how to do it themselves, and if they can't, they need to come to me because I will definitely help them out with that. It's what I want to do. This is my passion in life. I want to help set the captives free.
Well, that's a mouthful, and that's all really interesting. But I want to kind of ask you, we're at 8:26. That's somebody's phone ringing on the show here.
Um,
I wanted to ask you, we only have like 4 minutes to break, but I kind of wanted to get into what you do when people call you and they're having a problem with spirits. And also, you know, people ask about, maybe this would be good for before the break, how you feel about angels, and are there other kinds of entities that people talk about, such as fairies and things like that? What other kind of spirits are there besides human and angelic?
Yes, there's an angelic race. And keep in mind, when someone asks me my view, it's from my studies, from what I've learned in my life. And it's not reflecting on someone else's beliefs. But what I believe is, yes, there are good angels, and you pray to God to have them protect what and they all have different jobs. And if you read up on them, you'll see that this one does this, this one does that. I know a lot of people like to use the angels for, well, this is my personal, you know, angel. And no, I don't believe that personally. I believe that angel, you know, every angel has a different and specific job. And I do believe in angels, but I also believe in fallen angels. And I believe that we are told to address the angels through God for a reason. It's for our own protection, because fallen angels are something you do not want messing with you, and they can get in. And that's another issue, God. I have a whole page on that. If you go to Facebook and you see my page, you'll see that I have a page, Prophetic Services, and it talks all about the belief system of the angels and about the fallen angels, also known as the Watchers, and how they relate to us in our daily lives. We are flesh and blood and spirit because of something that happened to us way back when we were polluted in the Garden of Eden, and that's my personal belief. But as for the evil spirits, there's fallen angels, and then there's the demonic creatures, demonic beings, which are spirits of their slayed children. And they wander the earth, and this is all biblically provable if you look into it. And then there's many ranks and levels of entities, I'll say. I call it dark energy, so I don't confuse people. But there's so many of them, and they're so different and vast. It would take, I have detailed information on my page, but it would take a very long time, and since we're so close to break, it's a very complicated question in it.
Why don't we stop here and take the break, and we can pick it up.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, don't touch that mouse. We will be right back after this short break.
There. And I know They've all been talking about me. I can hear them whisper, and it makes me think there must be something wrong with me.
Well, hello there. This is Stan inviting you to listen to Jurassic Park, where we dig up the old bones of rock and roll, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond, and then carefully rebury them. Thursday nights, 8 Eastern, on GCR.
Hey, welcome back to Python Radio. We don't have any Paracon to talk about this week because we already had it, right, Lise?
That's right.
We sure did. Last Saturday in Springfield, Missouri at the Shrine Mosque, we had Ozarks Paracon, and it was a really nice day. We had a good time. There's some pictures on Facebook about it, and I'll put a link to my Facebook. Maybe you guys want to take a look at some of that. Also, some exciting news. We are starting yesterday. We started getting replayed. Our show's being replayed on Sixth Sense World Radio on Blog Talk. So they are going to be playing our podcasts over there on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock EST. No, 9 o'clock CST, our time here. It'll be 10 o'clock EST, 7 o'clock PST. So you'll be able to catch Python Radio on a replay over there, which is actually pretty cool. Our song this week was When We Dance by Sting. I love that song. Let's bring Jerry back on. I still got a little bit of a croaky throat, believe it or not, from being sick.
A froggy thing going on. I have the same thing, but mine's natural, so
it just sort of hangs on and on and hang on from this illness.
I don't know. The Demi Moore kind of voice, you know.
Well, now if I want it to stay, it'll leave. So if I wanted it to be with me forever, it'll be gone tomorrow. That's kind of the way my life is. So, you know, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about angels, and people in the chat room had a lot of questions about that, and also like finding their angel guides. And maybe you want to talk about angels for a minute. That would be a good place to start back up after the break.
Alrighty. Angel guides is something that I get encounters with. People are always saying, how do I find my angel? See, the thing with me is I'm a firm believer that you seriously need to pray, and anything you do, you need to go through the name of Jesus Christ to do, especially when it comes to the angels. He will assign you. He will give you. He says in Psalms 91:11, I give my angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So you need to go through him, pray about this, and if you have someone trusted, a medium, maybe a psychic that, you know, is also a believer, which in my book, the only people with gifts that are believers are the people you should go to for this sort of thing, because I'm not comfortable. I'm not saying that all, you know, empaths or psychics who aren't, you know, Christian or believe in God are bad, but I don't personally, myself, I wouldn't go. Because I truly believe that everything we do, we have to go through the name of Jesus Christ to do, to be protected. That's my belief. I'm not pushing it on anyone. I'm not, you know, downing anybody who doesn't do it that way. But to find your angel guide would probably be a good idea to pray about it first. And then go to a medium who's a believer, and sit with them and try to tap into some of this, because it's very important to get it right. And they are there, though. Let me tell you, you know, people who can't see, I call it seeing. I used to call it the knowing until that movie came out and scared the hell out of me. But, people who see have an easier time telling you what's around you. And I do it for Marcia Becker. She does it for me. And, you know, you need to trust the person that you're with, and you need to have a good relationship with them. And it makes it easier, and you know, it makes it good. You don't want to go through somebody who's not good, because they can get you in some trouble.
Well, you know, I get a lot of letters from people, and I know that Lisa probably does as well. And when I wanted to ask you, this is a really good question that I think would help a lot of people. If someone finds themselves in a situation with a haunting in their home, and they are fearful and they want to do something about it, there are things that people can do to make it worse, and things that they can do to make it better. So in your opinion, for your most generic advice that you could think of, what are the best things to do and the most important things to remember not to do?
Okay, let me start with the worst, because the worst to me is something you need to avoid right from the get-go. The worst thing to do, if you think you're being in a situation where you're being haunted, or you don't know what entities are, but something's going on. The worst thing you could do is confront it. You do not confront it, period. And people would say, well, you know, it's getting to me, it's slamming doors, it's throwing things. Contact a paranormal group that has a good reputation, that has clientele that is willing to testify that, you know, they helped me, they were really good, and they're good at what they do, and you need to get a hold of, and there's so many of them. There's so many good people out there. There's a lot of bad, but I have, on my friend list, I have some groups that are phenomenal at what they do. You need to contact somebody who knows how to deal with this. You do never, ever, ever confront these things yourself. The worst possible thing you could do, because you don't know what you're dealing with. And there are an array of different things that could be there. It could be demonic posing as a child. It could be a ghost posing as something demonic to scare you. Unless you can discern the spirits, you do not even go wander into that. Open that door. I mean, Ed always says, you know, that's a door you don't want to open. I agree. Don't open it. Don't. You need to contact somebody right away. You don't wait, but you do not confront these things yourself. The best thing to do is to find somebody credible and call them, contact them, get them out there as soon as possible, and have them take care of the problem. And you know what really bothers me more than I can even put into words? I don't know if they edit it out of their shows, but I'll see a lot of people go into a place, touch evidence of what they, you know, oh, this is Aunt Mary, and we caught evidence, here's your Aunt Mary, everything's fine now, we're leaving. They get evidence for their show and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is wrong with that picture? I'm sorry. I thought I wouldn't swear tonight, but it makes me so angry. I sit here and I'm brewing and pacing. I'm thinking, you don't even know what that really is, because number one, you don't see. You don't know. You're not an empath. You're an investigator. And an investigator's job is to go and disprove, first of all. You know, we collect evidence to disprove, not to prove. And they're taking a different approach than I would take. I'd walk in and I'd feel it first. Before I'd even see anything, I'd feel it. That's how a mental medium communicates. First off, I'll feel what I'm going to encounter, and I'll know instantly, the minute I walk into a place, this is going to manifest very bad, or it's going to manifest very light. You'll know. And if you don't have discernment of spirits built into you as a gifted person, then you should not tell, well, you know, I went in and there is something there, I feel it, and I communicate. No, 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 no. No. This is such a complicated subject, you know. We need like 4 hours for this.
And Jerry, I agree with you there. As a paranormal investigator, we always go in with at least one sensitive.
Good. Thank God.
And we have several on our team, but and I agree, people should not provoke, and Annette can laugh to herself that we've had recent discussions of the issues of what is portrayed on TV, and too often, certainly not all groups, but a lot of groups sort of trail off with, oops, there's something there, and then that's the end of it. And that's not our certainly not our philosophy on my team. And I think it's more dangerous for the homeowner if you're in a private residence, leaving them sort of dangling.
What they're doing is they go in and they're dumping gasoline on already a burning house. And it makes me so mad when I'll see these shows and I'll say, this can't be real. Please tell me this isn't real. Nobody would do that to someone. No one. Nobody would do that. Not if you really were gifted. I mean, how could you do that? I've been on an investigation recently, my most recent, but I don't know. But anyways, we went in, and the girl was a medium, okay? And she attracts these spirits to her. She's a beacon. She's a lighthouse, and they keep coming. So at first, I didn't know that she was a medium. She kept telling me, oh, I'm having this and this, and I can't sleep paralysis. I'm hearing voices. I'm seeing children. She had everything. And I went and I thought, oh, God, what if this is demonic? I walk into the house and I'm feeling, oh, my gosh, there's so many here. Why? So I had to look into the land, of course, and, you know, found out what I could find. But when I sat and looked at her, I touched her hand, I knew instantly, oh, my God, you're a medium. And she just looked at me and said, yeah, I think I might have the gift. And I said, yeah, you're bringing them to you. They come. And the poor girl says, well, how do I stop? How do I make them go away? I'm just tell them to go. It's that you just tell them to go. Well, they won't listen. We'll try it. Mean it when you say it. Say, all right, that's enough. I'm done. You need to go right now. And well, it's just the funniest thing, seriously.
That's kind of what I was going to say when you were saying, you know, don't confront, because in a way I kind of do confront, because I've seen a lot in my lifetime, you know, starting since I was 16. And sometimes I'll feel things and I'll just say, I don't want to see you. I'm sorry for whatever happened to you. Don't show yourself to me. Don't bother me. Don't bother my kid. I'll pray for you. And I just try and shut it down from the beginning, you know?
Exactly. But there's a difference between, and I'll tell you, this is a controversial subject, but I'm telling you because I know. I know. We will prove this someday. If you are sensitive in any form, you have the ability to mirror them. It's like they're attracted to your light, but you're a mirror. You turn that light on, they see that, they will bounce right off of you. You can say, hey, I want, that's enough for tonight, go. Because if you're seeing them, you're hearing them, you know they're there, you have the ability to tell them to go. Ordinary people who think their house is haunted or that they're being inhibited by some dark energy who say, is anybody here? You need to leave me alone. I mean, you don't do that. The minute you ask, the devil to come in, he comes in. I have a friend, and I'm not going to name her. I love her dearly. But she says to me, I think her house is haunted. I went to Walmart tonight, Jerry, and I bought an EVP, the little digital recorder. And I'm gonna ask if I can communicate with them. Oh, my God, do you know who you're talking to right now? You will not do that. I almost had a heart attack. No, that's provoking. You do not do that.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that because, you know, if you're an investigator and you're in some old abandoned site and everything, that's a totally different thing. If you're doing stuff in somebody's home, it has to be treated differently. And like my son is saying that he's having activity, and I told him to be careful, like with what he says or does, because you can go down a road with the EVP and stuff that you're doing in your home, and you live there, and it looks like encouragement. Talk to me.
It does. And
I want to know about you. I want to find out about you.
You're opening a part of your spirit to them that they will just come in and envelop. Your aura, they'll be all over you all the time. You have to be very, very careful. I can't, oh my gosh, I can't even put into words. Listen, if you're somebody who's investigating, you're not gifted, you say, you know, Jerry, I'm an investigator, and I don't agree with you saying that we need a medium on the team, or a, well, that's fine, but do me a huge favor. Make sure that you pray over your team, yourself, and every piece of equipment you bring into a place. Please, Heavenly Father, protect this equipment from any spiritual attachments in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. That easy, that fast, a little protection goes a long way because you cannot afford, and people will bring stuff in, set it all up, and they'll say, oh, you know, please protect me, God, thank you. Go in, come out. 2 weeks later, they're not feeling well, or they're having this strange mood all the time. Their team, they're all fighting, and then it just kicks into gear. You have to pray over your equipment, too. It's an electronic device. People don't understand these things. I get, and on YouTube, I have a few videos, I will get people so angry at me saying, you know, I'm an investigator. You don't think I should be doing this? Everything I do is wrong to you? And, you know, no, I don't mean it that way. I'm trying to give you advice to spare you from an atrocity. And believe me, there are many people out there that can attest to the fact that if you open a door like that, you're done. There's many of them. There's more of them than there are of us. Yes. And it's a scary place to be. They need to take this seriously. And the paranormal is so big right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's fascinated by it. Oh, I want to see a ghost. And I want to get into the paranormal. It's so cool. It's intriguing. It makes the adrenaline pump. But what they don't understand is it's real, and you will get hurt if you're not careful. You need to be protected. And if you don't have the capacity for that, stay away from it. My best advice to people, stay away from it anyways, but they're not going to. It's very intriguing to them. They're not going to, but please pray protection then. That's all I ask, because I have had at least, and I'm not kidding you, about 300 people so far that I have prayed for and worked with to get stuff off of them. And it's hard to do over a computer and a telephone. I mean, I spend a lot of hours doing this. I'm up all night long until 4 o'clock in the morning trying to get rid of stuff for people. And I'd rather do it hands-on. Maybe someday, God willing, if that's his plan for me, that would be great. But, yeah, don't open that door unless, you know, you're protected.
I think also we didn't kind of hit on the other side of that question, which is, if you are in a bad situation, what is the best thing that you can do before
the best thing to do?
Say that you're waiting for someone to come and help, you're looking for someone that can come and help, but you are living in this situation.
Okay, well, here's my best advice to you. Get a Bible. And you know what? You don't have to be... And people think, oh, well, you know, I believe there's a God, but I don't believe, blah, blah. I don't care. Do me a favor. Go buy a Bible. You can get one at a dollar store for a dollar. Go buy a Bible if you don't have one. Open it up and say the Our Father prayer. And then I want you to do one little thing and say, Dear Heavenly Father God, please protect us until someone gets here to rid this house of this infestation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Best thing to do. Because that's what you need to do. You need to put down a little bit of protection, at least temporary protection, until someone who knows what they're doing can get in there and fix the problem. And I always hope that whoever you contact, you've checked out thoroughly, because you need someone who knows what they're doing for this sort of thing.
And I think that can be really difficult, because I get people that come to me and I make recommendations. I'm very careful with that, because I really do believe that some people can go in there and make it worse.
Oh, yeah, they will. Very quickly, yes, they will.
And very easily bring it up a whole notch to a whole nother level. And because really there's a lot of teams out there, and everybody's just doing their own thing.
Well, you're talking about the human element. You're talking about human beings who walk around with flesh sin, and they see this, and there's rules. We talk about this, you and me and Lisa, from time to time. There's rules to engagement in the spiritual warfare. And if you're somebody who's out smoking, you know, you're smoking marijuana, you're drinking a beer, you're cheating on your wife, and the next day you get all your equipment together and you take your team down to do an investigation, you walk in a place and you're going to help somebody, how the hell are you going to do that? You have to be somewhat, and I'm not saying that there's anyone perfect out there. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has their thing. But, you know, there are people who need to cleanse themselves first, and there's proper ways of doing that before they go in and help some or try to help someone else, because if you walk in there dirty, you're just going to, like I said, it's like dumping gasoline on a fire. You're going to kick everything into gear, and it'll be worse for that person and yourself. Yes, oh my gosh, it's just something to stay away from unless you're a believer.
Yes, and I can say I've seen those situations firsthand in investigating people getting themselves into trouble that way. It's not something to be played with. We do have a question in the chat room that I think we're almost at the end of the hour, and this might be a good way to kind of wind up. Someone is asking, you know, what are some of the rules in spiritual warfare?
Okay, there are many rules, but the first and foremost, let me just say this, okay? A lot of believers lose their way because they feel that they have to be perfect. Remember something. Jesus went to the cross for everybody. So you don't have to be perfect. You have to confess your sin, put your sin on him. Okay, that's your first rule. Your first rule is to not say, if you have a good heart and you want to help people, you're a believer, you know, you need to say, all right, I give this to you, God. Please forgive me for my, name your sin, plead the blood over it, and then march forward. Okay, the second rule is to break strongholds. And worldly thinking, fleshly habits, and satanic influences are strongholds in our life. You have to break these strongholds. And I would need another 2 to 3 hours, maybe days, to get into the rest of it. But the spirits manifest in our lives, and the evil spirits manifest in our lives. And in order for us to go into spiritual warfare, we need to take proper steps. Proper steps begin when you bring yourself and you present yourself before Christ. Because if you don't do that, you're not protected from the very beginning. And it's a very entailed subject. If anybody would like to know, and I have pages and pages on this, if anyone would really like to know how to engage in spiritual warfare, they can contact me, and I will be happy to send them everything I have, because this is an awesome thing for people to even be interested in, and I would gladly share my knowledge with them. But it would take us more than 5 minutes to do it, more than 3 minutes now, I think we have left.
Well, actually, I think that we should have you back again soon and talk about that, because it's very fascinating, and it's things that people don't really understand. And I really think that there's a lot of people out there that are just doing this like for kicks and don't even have the right sort of respect for what they're dealing with.
No.
It's not like, do you want to go bowling or do you want to go ghost hunting?
Exactly. That's the thing. And they don't understand what they're doing. Here's the most terrible thing. There are people who are not very articulate or educated. They see this on TV, which is a great tool for the devil, the television set and the internet. Yes, we use it too. Believers use it against them, but they use it against us too. And people will see this, and they will go at it and think, oh, I'm going to be a ghost hunter. And they don't know what they're doing, and they get themselves in such trouble. It's sad. It's really sad. It's been portrayed. The paranormal has been portrayed in the shining light that God should be portrayed in. And it's sad to me. It really is.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. So I want to thank you so much. And I want to have you back on soon. And thank you, Lisa, for co-hosting. And we will be back next week, Wednesday night. For Python Radio. Good night.
Well, I thank you guys for having me. Well, thank you for being here.
Clear.